Okay, notes. We are actually back in Genesis. I've had to skip a week or two through this passage because there's just so much. And, you know, I'm just giving you a tiny taste of what is all involved in this passage. I think we're completed with Genesis 1:28 today as far as our look at the five blessings. There's a lot more that I could talk about, but I think we're going to go ahead and move on. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about food. One of my favorite sermons coming up. The problem is it's not Burger King or even pizza. We're talking veggies next week, so, all right. What you have before you are notes that summarize parts of what we've talked about. The five blessings themselves, not everything we've discussed. The title that I've given the file is it's Genesis 1, 26 to 28 G. So it's like sermon number 8 in this passage, and that's not counting the one that we did of verse 27 that talked about male and female. So we talked about the image of God and for several sermons, and then we've been looking at the blessings, the five blessings of creation. So that's where we're at today. So we'll finish up this. We'll probably talk a little bit more about the dominion aspect as we get into this. We probably will touch on that just a little more. If not, next week, maybe when we get into Genesis 2. So I'm going to ask you to stand, if you don't mind, one more time, and we're going to read the scripture that's right at the top of your notes out loud together, okay? It's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. We'll just read through verse 28, okay? We're not going to read the last verse in this section because we're not really covering that today. So, starting with verse 26, and then we'll read through verse 28 there and in Genesis here. So, out loud together. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food." Sorry, I tell you to do something and I don't do it. So let's pray. Lord, bless us as we study. We ask this and help, just give us understanding, openness of mind, and help us to learn your word as you intended it to reveal to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I got caught up in the words of the song versus what I had written here, so I'll have to review that. So, letter A, when we look at these five blessings, we've looked at them. What are they? That was one sermon by itself. What are they? And we're going to review these briefly because you'll see them in the points for today. So what are they? What are these five? Because some argue, well, they're not really commands, they're blessings, and then they try to, I don't know, diminish or delete them because of that. Well, they're actually five things. Five things are true of these blessings. They're authorizations, and what we mean by that is by God commanding these, by God blessing these, He's giving us the right to do these things. And that's a huge point that we'll get into some today when we talk about, are they for today? If some of them aren't for today, then all of them aren't for today. And I don't think you could argue that, or you wouldn't be alive today for many reasons. And we'll get into that. God gave us permission to carry out these five blessings. He said, you have the right, the permission, the authority to do that. They're authorizations. They're also blessings. And again, people have tried to diminish this in some way. Why sing about this? We don't want them. Okay? But they are privileges. God gave us the privilege to do these. Not only is it something we can do, it's something that's good to do. They're good things. They're blessings. They're not curses. They're things that God has given us the privilege to do. God considers each of these five as good and desirable. When something is classified as a blessing, it's something that you should want and enjoy. And be benefited by. So they're authorizations, the right to do these things, blessings, the privilege to do these things. They're also commands. We have the responsibility to do these five. Each is an imperative. Each is a command. God tells us we must do these. Okay? They're commands. They're the first five commands to human beings in all of the Bible. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Those five. Number four, directions. They're each directions. And there's probably a better word, but it didn't start with D. But A, B, C, D, E. That's what these turn out to be. The path which will be taken. Each is a course set in motion by God that will be followed. Even if people reject them as a blessing, they will still almost, even though they try to resist them, still keep them to some degree or another, whether or not individuals do, the world does as a whole. They have to just survive. Again, as we'll see that later. They're kind of like laws of nature almost. You could probably say them that way. Laws that God set in motion. And then number five, enablements. We talked about you can have the right to do something, the privilege to do something, the responsibility to do something, the path to do something, but if you don't have the ability to do something, you can't do it. God, by virtue of commanding and blessing these, gave the ability for us to be able to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it and have dominion. He gave us the cognitive ability, the ability to think and reason in order to rule over the subdue the earth and rule over the animals, for example. So the ability. God gave us the capacity and even the desire to do the things commanded. And the application, I'll just review it again here. God is the creator. We are to understand God's design and desire and work by and with His plan. Our world is in upheaval because people are rejecting God's design and desire for His creation. God is the explainer. We must interpret life and culture by God's revelation, not by man's practice or culture's direction. It doesn't matter if the entire world does something. If God says it's to be different, because He is God and He designed it that way, that's what we must follow. And the biggest example that just pops in our mind and in our faces today is same-sex marriage. God did not design same-sex marriage for two people of the same gender. It's totally an abomination. It's a confusion. It goes against what God designed and planned. God is also the sustainer. We can see God's creative work still in force today, though marred and actively rejected by man. And even abused, misinterpreted, even the environmentalist movement might be a wrong response to the abuse of our environment, maybe. It's an overemphasis on the environment and a de-emphasis on mankind as being in the image of God. It isn't necessarily all wrong to take care of your environment. It's wrong to make environment your God. Okay? So what are they? They're authorizations, blessings, commands, directions, enablements. So the right to do these, the privilege to do these, the responsibility to do these, the path which will be taken, these will be done, and the ability to do these. What do they mean? Be fruitful is to bear fruit, to have children. God gave us the right, the privilege, the responsibility, the path, and the ability to bear children. Multiply, to become many, to have numerous children. God gave us the right, the privilege, the responsibility, the path, and the ability to have many children. Fill the earth, to have numerous children, and if you will, descendants, obviously, though originally man wasn't intended to die, correct? So it didn't take dying to fill the earth, you know, generation, lots of generations necessarily, to do that. There seemed to be a lot of people on the earth before the flood that were wiped out by the flood, and people lived a very long time, right? Fill the earth, have numerous children and descendants to the point of eventually filling the earth. Subdue it, to take control of, to become master over the earth and responsible for it. God made the earth for mankind, and we are to take responsibility for it, okay? And then have dominion, to rule over the creatures of the earth. At least so far in my study, dominion has to do with creatures themselves. The fish, the birds, and the living creatures, the creeping things, or even the creepy things. Okay? That's what it defines them there. So that's what they mean. And they're not hard to understand. People just don't like what they read, at least part of it. Now the question for today's message is, are they for today? And I would say the majority of people would say no. Just by, in a casual conversation, if you say, hey, what do you think about God's command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth? And I say, that was for Adam and Eve. Okay? It's usually a partial response, but it's like, you know, that might be good for some people, it's not good for me kind of thing. All right? Let's talk about them. I give 12 reasons to say yes, they are for today. Okay? I believe they are for today. I believe they're still in force today, and I'll give you 12 reasons. Number one, some of these are more arguing from reason, but I think it's biblically based reason. And by the way, if you see the letters in front, the A, B, C, D, and E, I tried to put them up toward the top, but those would relate to the authorization, blessing, command, direction, and enablement there. Do you see those in parentheses at the front of some of those? As you go down, mostly on the back side, but number one has an A in parentheses, so it has to do with the authorization aspect of these, okay? So number one, the practice, which relates to the authorization, the fact that we have the right, we still practice each of these. To some degree or another, we still have to practice each of these as though we have permission to do so. We are fruitful to some degree or another. We do multiply to some degree or another. We are filling the earth to some degree or another. We certainly subdue the earth in a massive way. And we mentioned even if you build, dig, plant, or whatever, you are subduing the earth. You are assuming that you have the right to do that. If you build, I buy cars, I don't build cars, I don't even fix cars much. But that is subduing the earth. You're doing something with what God has created as if you were in charge of it. And also, we have dominion, whether it's, I think, did I put it in there? I think I put hamburger. No, maybe that was someplace else. That's someplace else. But the idea of we have dominion. If you have a pet or a livestock or if you go hunting or if you have ever stepped on an ant, not the wife of your uncle, you understand, but the little insects, then you are having dominion over. And we are doing it. Either they're for today, or we shouldn't be doing any of them because we don't have the right. Either these are in force today because God gave us the authority, the right to do these, the permission to do these, or we shouldn't be doing any of them. We're acting like they're for us today by our practice. Okay? We're taking that right. So either they're for today or they're not for today. And by the way, I don't think I addressed this anywhere, but one of the things is I don't think anyone has the right to pick and choose. If one is in force, they're all in force, okay? Either you have the right to do one of them or all of them. I mean, all of them or none of them is what I mean. They all rise or fall together, and I think you'll see more of that as we go on. So the first one, we still practice, the key word is practice. We still practice each as though we have permission to do them. So we're acting as though we have the authority to do them, the permission to do them, to some degree or another. Number two, blessing. The word blessing, and this relates to the word blessing. You see that parenthetical B in front. But they continue to be something that is good in God's eyes. Now, mankind does not think that it's good to be fruitful anymore, at least to some degree, at least to where you multiply. Okay, we addressed that a little bit, the whole myth of overpopulation and all of that, and just a tiny bit before. But that whole idea is countermanded by the culture, the wisdom of the day. It's simply not true. Okay? And we'll probably get into more that relates to that in further points here. But God says these are all blessings. He did not tell Adam and Eve, you will multiply because you've been naughty. He says, I'm going to let you multiply because I want to bless you. I want this to be a good thing for you. Each of these is still something to be considered as a privilege, something good and desirable. The nature of a blessing has not fallen away from these from God's vantage point. Most people, when they find out I have lots of kids, they like shake their head. They're like, oh. Well, and the other side of the mouth is saying, I always wanted more children. It's amazing, but that's true. They'll say that. Now, one example, and probably the most blatant, I suppose, that people are against today, is the example throughout Scripture, God blessed and cursed by means of children. In other words, if you found His blessing, if He wanted to bless you, He would give you many children. If He did not want to bless you, if He wanted to curse you, He would close your womb, He would prevent you from being able to conceive. Okay? Let me read some of these. Ishmael. Did you know God blessed Ishmael? How did He bless Ishmael? Abraham was worried. Sarah wasn't getting along with Hagar. She felt cheated. She felt wrong. And Abraham probably was very much part of that. Okay? He went into Hagar instead of listening to God. All right? But God said to Abraham, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly, and he shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Ishmael had 12 sons that became 12 kings. And God said that was a blessing. Deuteronomy 1:11, may the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are and bless you as He has promised you. That was a common blessing. May you have a multitude of children. And that they weren't saying, because I hate your guts. You know, it's telling you that may God give you many children wasn't like may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits kind of thing. It isn't. We see it kind of that way, but it's the other way around in God's eyes, okay? May God give you many children. 1 Chronicles 26:4-5. You see Obed-Edom mentioned several times, and I won't go into detail, but it lists six of his sons, Shemaiah, Jehozabad. I'm not necessarily suggesting these as names for sons, but you're welcome to pick them if you want. Shemaiah, Jehozabad, Joah, Sakar, Nethanel, Amiel, Issachar, Puthai, the eighth, and then notice it says, for God blessed him. He gave him 8 sons, for God blessed him. Okay? And I usually get, and I don't mean to sound crude, but I usually get, don't you know what causes that? And I'm like, don't you know who causes that? Is what you mean to say, right? Job 42, it's interesting. Job made it all the way through. God grew him through the tragedies. God took all of his crops, or his livestock, the different massive amounts of livestock. Most of his servants were murdered. All 10 of his children were killed. He went through this huge trial. By the way, God allowed that to happen. God doubled everything but one thing, and that was his children, because seemingly his children would still be in the presence of the Lord. But notice what Job 42, 12 and 13 says. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Okay? He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That was considered part of the blessing. So he had 10 children that were killed on one day, all in one day, and God blessed him with 10 more children. Okay? That's seen as a good thing. Psalm 107:38, He, God, also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and He does not let their cattle decrease. It's talking about children and even property. Psalm 107:41, He sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and He makes their families like a flock. Okay? Again, that is seen as something that God does to bless. And of course, a very well-known passage, Psalm 127, 3 through 5, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. What is a heritage? An inheritance. Something that God gifts, God blesses somebody with. And you can go into a lot more detail, but an inheritance is determined by the giver, not the getter. The fruit of the womb is a what? Do you see that? What's the word? The fruit of the womb is his what? Reward. You might want to circle that. People somehow change that to curse. Burden. Something like that. And it's a reward. And I do not to this day follow the logic of how people desire to prevent the reward of God. And I'm just being honest. And then it goes on to say, like arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. The impact that you can have through the next generation. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And again, it's in light of the fact of a warrior. A warrior goes to battle with as many as he can carry. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. The strength of a large family. So, are they for today? Yes, because they're considered a blessing by God throughout Scripture. There's more. I just gave you a selective representation. But you see that over and over throughout the concept. If you do a search on like fruitful or multiply, you'll have days worth of work to just read through those, but you'll see the nature in which those are presented. Number 3, condition. There's no condition is stated in the, I have a C there in front because it relates to the command. It really relates to all of them, this idea, but no condition is stated. It doesn't say be fruitful until this specific state or condition is met. It doesn't say do this until, you know, whatever, how many children you have, or how many children are on the earth, or whatever the case might be. Financial constraints even, which that's another argument that people bring forth that I won't really address today. So there's no condition stated. It doesn't say be fruitful until this state or condition is met. Number 4 is like it. There's no time frame given. Be fruitful until 2000 BC. Be fruitful until a certain point in time is reached. It doesn't say that at all. Yet people try to interpolate that into the Scriptures, but that's adding to the Word of God. There's no time frame given. Number 5, this to me is a heavy argument as well. There's no reversal. There's no cancellation of these commands, any of them. There are no commands from God to rescind, repeal, or revoke. And I think pretty much those all mean the same thing, but they sound good. To rescind, repeal, or revoke any of these five blessings. Human argument and logic, that it should say are, I added a word. So human argument and logic are insufficient to counter God's commands. Many seek to do this for all of God's commands. They'll say, well, marriage is for one man and one woman, but, and then they'll try and apply human logic to it. If we say that's wrong, then don't apply human logic to this passage either. Because God has not changed anything. There's no cancellation of the commands. That's number five. So far we've got five reasons. The next one here, I have a letter D in front of it. It has to do with God's direction or directive, if you will, but there's no ceasing. Now, this is just from an observation standpoint, and it somewhat relates to letter A. Letter A, we practice them. We actively are fruitful. We actively multiply, you know, to some degree or another, where some people try to prevent it or not. Ultimately, as a world, we're increasing in population, all that. This one has to do with just observing from the outside. It's not what we do, but it's just looking. There's no evidence of any of these five stopping. Now, we mentioned it's one commentary used the term executive. When God commands something, it's not only blessing, but it also enables, it also makes it happen, whether we want it to happen or not. Okay? If God puts something in motion, you will not be able to stop it. Okay? As in a general sense, you might resist the will of God, but the will of God, by and large, is not thwarted, okay, in any sense of the word. So they're like the laws of nature. They're still continuing. People are still fruitful. People still multiply, or at least have the capability to do so. People still are in the process of filling the earth. We're subduing it. As we mentioned, we're having dominion. It's happening. So that's number six. Number seven, I have the letter E here, and this is enablement. If these are not for today, not only why are we doing them, why are they still continuing on, but why do we still have the ability to do them? Okay? Because they're not only commands or blessings, but they're also enablements. We still have the capacity, the ability to be fruitful. We still have the capacity, the ability to multiply. We still have the capacity, the ability to fill the earth. We still have the capacity, the ability to subdue the earth. We still have the capacity, the ability to have dominion over the creatures of the earth. Okay, the enablement for each continues. So to say it's not for today seems to belie the fact that we still have the capacity to do them. The enablement for each continues. We still are able to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, and have dominion over fish, birds, and living creatures. And that's where I threw the word in hamburger. So we still even know how and even desire to have a good burger or something. That would be probably to have dominion over. But the continuation, the idea that we still have the ability, the enablement remains. Number eight, repeating. Now this is something here, the repetition. Some commands are repeated. Most people think, oh, that's just be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth was only there once. So probably because it was said so long ago, it probably doesn't even apply anyway. I don't know, that must be the logic there. But it was repeated. In fact, the three, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth are there a couple times. Others are never repeated, which brings up another issue. Genesis 9:1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now, we're all descended from Adam and Eve, yes? We're also descended from whom? Noah and his wife, right? We all have common ancestry from Noah onward. So who knows how the gene pool was affected. you know, there's different ethnic groups now, different skin colors, different hair colors, different eye colors. I wonder what was lost in that. You know, height, size. You know, apparently there were taller people on the earth with bigger feet back then. You know, maybe there was, you know, Noah was a short, stubby man comparatively. Who knows? The gene pool, it was lost. But we're all descended from Noah and his wife, Mrs. Noah, I guess. But Noah and his sons were commanded by God to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So it's repeated, so it's in force at least from Noah onwards still. And he says it again, he repeats it in similar fashion to Noah and his sons. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Those commands are also to Noah and his sons. And in Genesis 35, God says this to Jacob. God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. And again, you can even see it from a standpoint of the number 2 point, that it was seen as a blessing to be fruitful and multiply. But it was commanded to Noah. Now let me ask this, to Noah and his three sons, and their wives, God commanded them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. What did He not command them to do? Compared with Genesis 1:28. How many commands are in Genesis 1:28? 5. How many did God give to Noah and his sons? Help me out. 3. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. What's missing? Subdue the earth, have dominion. So are they no longer able to subdue the earth or have dominion? Because those are missing. They're not repeated. Listen, they're not repeated anywhere in Scripture. So repetition re-emphasizes it. That God wanted to make sure they got it and they understood that this is what they're supposed to do. The other two, subdue the earth, and have dominion over the fish, birds, and the creeping things, actually, is not repeated, which begs the question, are they still in force? And the implication, it demands that yes, they are, otherwise it goes back to the statement that we cannot subdue the earth, and we cannot have dominion. Those commands are still in force. God repeated the others to emphasize them. But the only time God gave us permission to subdue the earth, the only time God gave us the right to have dominion, the authority, if you will, the permission, the blessing to have the dominion over the fish, birds, and every living thing that creeps on the earth was at Genesis 1:28. And if you say they're not valid, then you are in a pickle. Because you have no right to eat. You have no right to plant. You have no right to build. You have no right to cut down a tree. You have no right to do anything with animals. They are not repeated anywhere in Scripture. Have dominion is seen elsewhere with people ruling over other people. But never in Scripture is have dominion over animals given again, and subdue is never seen as a command anywhere else in Scripture other than Genesis 1:28. That is a big deal. So if you say that you have the right to subdue, the only way that you can prove that is to go to Genesis 1:28. And if you say it's not enforced for today, then I think you're out of luck. You're going to get very hungry, very cold, and very dead very soon. Okay, you can't argue both sides. So repetition, it reemphasizes to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth to Noah. It's seen as a blessing to Jacob, but it seems to be enforced. It's repeated, and there's emphasis. Subdue and have dominion are ones that the only place that we have the right to assume to do those things is at creation. in Genesis 1:28. It's huge. It's a huge point. Number nine, incomplete completion. The world is not full. The world is not fully subdued, nor can it be once and for all ruled, or I was going to say dominated, but have dominion over. Okay? It's not there. We're not there. We talked about the full thing before. Jim brought up a good point that you know, we can all fit in Anchorage, Alaska. We could all live in Alaska. That isn't to say that it's livable there. But that's a space argument, but also resources and all that. The issue, God says, fill the earth. Resources are God's responsibility. Okay? And we've already talked about the idea that there's plenty of resources for possibly 100 billion people back in 1994 to be able to support that with known technology. So we're like 0.5% of capacity that we're able to support right now. So we're not anywhere near full either. But all of those things need to continue. The side note, there's no hint that the world's problem is overpopulation and the result of overpopulation, but the Bible clearly teaches that God is the supplier and the world's problem is sin and rebellion with the resultant judgment from a holy God. People take their eyes off of God and then they look at, you know, the impact of sin and they say, oh, the problem is the effects of sin. No, the problem is sin. And we need to get right with God. God spoke the universe into existence. Feeding people is not a problem. Do you understand that? He's the creator God. What he expects, what he demands, and what he will mete out for people who don't is judgment against those that rebel against his holiness. Okay? It's an argument in vanity, and it's actually an argument against God. Even the concept of overpopulation, which again is a myth, by many that don't believe in the Word of God even, okay? Number 10, necessary. It's a necessity. These have to be for today or you wouldn't be alive. We cannot survive or function without any of them. The human race would die out in one generation if we ignored the first three because people wouldn't have babies. And by the way, you have to. What's the population to sustain? Is it 2.3 children? I've never had a 0.3 children, but you know, you have to have at least 2.3 just to as a generation to survive the next generation. Otherwise, everyone's gone. Okay, you diminish and you die out if you don't sustain a 2.3 child per family. That just sustains the population. But also, the human race would die out without the first three, without having children, obviously, is the idea. Or in days, if you can't subdue or have dominion, it's called starvation. You would die within days because you're not allowed to do it. You have to have those. It's an idea of necessity. God set it up as part of the plan. You need to eat. Therefore, you're able to subdue, whether you're growing tomatoes in your backyard or buying something at the grocery store that somebody else made by subduing the earth, you are doing that. But we would die within days if we weren't allowed to do that. So there's the necessity for those. Number 11, partial. And I use this as inconsistency, and I've inferred this, I think, a little earlier, but people still embrace the last two without hesitation or question. They still openly subdue. They still openly have dominion over. Our claim or right to any necessitates the acceptance of all five. And again, if you accept two of them, they came as a unit. They don't come separately. So it's an inconsistency to see that some are valid and some are invalid for today. The last one is something that I kind of wrote out. I got up Wednesday night. I just felt lousy. I went to bed early. And I woke up at, I don't know, 3, well, Joseph woke me up actually, but I got up and wrote for a while. Lots of things on my mind, so I wrote different things. I wanted to make sure I got them written down so I didn't forget them, but also then I could go back to sleep because, I didn't want to try to stay awake to remember. But this is one that I that it dawned on me, that I'm sitting here thinking about or laying there in bed, and I'm like, you know, there's a huge issue here too, because most people say, well, Genesis 1 is back then. Genesis 2 is for today with regard to marriage. Yes? Usually that's the case. Genesis 1, whatever it is, it doesn't really apply because I don't want it to apply usually. But Genesis 2 has to do with marriage, and so we know marriage applies today because I'm married, and so it has to apply. I'm just using kind of a facetious logic, but that's really the way it goes. But listen, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. It's really easy to find. I have the text in your notes too if you don't have your Bible, but I just want you to see it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Is Genesis 2 a separate creation account? Help me out here. Somebody made it up later to fill it in or something, or what? It's not. It's like, okay, now God's going to back up and give you more information about a specific part of creation, the creation of man and woman in detail, okay? But look at Genesis 1, verse 27. I'll just start this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Then what? Male and female, he created them. And then, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them. Now, let's just stop there, okay? Genesis 2 says God created man from the dust of the ground, put him in the garden to tend and keep it. Yes? But the woman wasn't there yet, right? It's not good for man to be alone. Right? God lets him name all the animals. There was not found a helper fit or fitting for him. So God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He takes a rib from Adam, creates woman from Adam's rib, and then brings the woman to the man. And he is. His socks are knocked off if he were wearing socks. Okay? Genesis 1:28 says, God said to them. When does Genesis 2 take place? Is it after Genesis 1? No. It's after Genesis 1:27. But before Genesis 1:28. Does that make sense? Because he can't bless them and say to them until they're created, which has to take place after Genesis 2. Does that make sense? Genesis 2, squeeze that in as a parenthesis and put it after Genesis 1:27 and before Genesis 1:28. Now, my argument is if marriage is valid, marriage came before these five blessings. And you cannot reject these blessings unless you somehow diminish or weaken the Word of God as God intended. Does that make sense? You cannot say Genesis 2 is for us, but Genesis 1:28 is not, because Genesis 2 came before Genesis 1:28. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And that's what, folks, that's what I see, and that is my burden, is that people want the Word of God to say what they want it to say rather than what God meant it to say. And they somehow tap dance around the idea that children are bad. Children are not good. Okay? And lots of children are even worse. And you can't take it that way. And that's why I believe we're fighting the argument of what is marriage today, because people are selling out the Word of God, only wanting it to make it mean what they want it to mean. And folks, you might take it one level, but someone else takes it another level. So it's okay to murder children because children are not good. They're bad. Well, we only sought to prevent them. That's preventing them. Right? That's preventing them. Well, we We want marriage to be for companionship primarily, and that so the homosexuals say, exactly. That's all we're talking about. Two people that love each other. And it's like, no, then you missed the point. Okay, let me read what I have here, and then I'll read my applications. But this passage is an overview of the creation of the first man and woman. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And it encompasses Genesis 2 as well. God spoke all of the blessings to them, which would have required the blessings to be given after the woman was created at the end of Genesis 2. And I quote verses 1, chapter 1, 27 and 28. Then I comment, it would appear that Genesis 2, verses 7 through 25 would fit after the third clause of Genesis 1, 27, after the verse, but after the third clause, male and female, he created them, and before verse 28. It is textually accurate and also logical and rather obvious that the commands to be fruitful and multiply would be given after the creation of both the male and the female, and thus after the events described in Genesis 2. If Genesis 2 lays any lasting demands on us by pattern and principle, and what I'm saying here, if marriage is between a man and a woman, and I put here, which is it obviously does, given that the passage is referred to over and over again in the New Testament, then it would seem that the blessings of 1:28 would equally be relevant and applicable for today. You cannot separate chronologically what is chronologically a unit. And one of the things that the people argue is they always go to Genesis 1:28 or whatever and say, it's not for today. And it's like they're choosing what they want, because there is not an argument that I can think of that would say it's not for today. Because we wouldn't be here, and marriage wouldn't be marriage, and all of that. Let me give you some applications here. Be careful not to discard lightly what God has clearly stated and commanded. Don't be quick to discard a command out of the Word of God, saying, that's culture, that's for another time. Be very, very careful. Be cautious not to embrace the world's views rather than God's revelation. I was going to use the world's rhetoric, but I didn't know that we don't use that as much. But the way the world talks, just because they talk doesn't mean it's right at all. And the number of people that talk is in no way proof that something is accurate. The majority of people following Moses wanted to return to Egypt. Okay, the majority of anything doesn't make it right necessarily. What God says is true if everyone rejects it. Okay? Be cautious not to embrace the world's views rather than God's revelation. Next application, be critical of any view that diminishes God's authority or ability. Anything that diminishes God's authority or ability. It's just phenomenal that the bottom line with like children is that people do not take God at His word, because they say God is not big enough, wise enough, smart enough, strong enough to do what I think he should do. It's an issue of theology. What do people believe about God, ultimately? Be critical of any view that diminishes God's authority or ability. Be confident that the Creator knows more than his creation. Is that something we wrestle with? Don't you like to... Do you have a hard time giving God the right, if you will, to direct your life, because you don't you're not sure that he knows what he's doing. And I'm not in any way trying to be sacrilegious toward God. I'm saying that's, if we step back for a minute and we say, you know what? I'm actually saying God doesn't know what he's doing. I'm actually saying that I think I know more than God does. Or I'm stronger than, you know, whatever. And it's, he is, be confident that the Creator knows more than his creation. And lastly, be creatures that enjoy the blessings of God rather than running from blessing. And that's true. There's lots of blessings in the Word of God. You know, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, and you're like, I don't want to be persecuted. It's like, you know, God says you're blessed for that and you should expect that. But God will reward you. Great is your reward in heaven. Okay, so don't be afraid to be blessed of God. Anyway, quite a massive challenge. I'm glad it only was 12. There's lots more that we could say, but we will not. It's time to quit. Thank you for your attention in this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that we can be confident that you are all wise, all knowing, all powerful, and that you are big enough to overwhelm us. You are infinitely God of gods, and we worship you, and help us to walk in light of that rather than being afraid to let you be God. Lord, to be afraid to enjoy the blessings that you've given to us and the multitudes of blessings that you promise us. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you're the God that teaches us and helps us to see what is true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.